Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Modesto.
I'm Reed.
And I'm Maddie.
We're back, girls. We have a little bit of bittersweet news, I would say, before we start the episode. We have a lot of shit to get into. So before we start, I know a lot of you have noticed that Zach hasn't been on the podcast in a while, and after a lot of talking with Zach, he made the difficult decision to take an indefinite step away from the podcast. So he will no longer be a full-time co-host. Zach will always be part of the About Bravo family. Me and him started this together like 2 years ago now. We brought Reed in and he has been fucking incredible. And Maddie and Annie have been our little friend of you roundtable co-host for so long. So Zach has an open invitation to come on whenever he pleases to do, you know, kind of what Maddie and Annie do, joined of, little friend of role. But as of right now, I wouldn't expect him to do that as even that. But yeah, it'll be a while before you hear Zach again. So it's going to be me and Reed riding this ship.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be real. That's kind of been how it is all year. Zach had a career change and had to go off to training. And that was kind of when I stepped in full time. So it's been a journey like the last year. I was just reflecting on even our friendship and how Maddie and Elvis added me to this Bravo group chat you guys were all in probably sometime around this time last year. Like, it's only been like a year, which is crazy. Mo and I have never met in person.
Never.
Our entire friendship is over webcam and over text, which is wild because we were saying yesterday, you're one of my best friends now. I can say that.
And it's like, it's so wild. Like, Reed is literally one of my best friend pen pals.
We're like pen pals. We've
Maddie
never met.
For a while too, and then we met. I know, Reed, but it feels like I just know you so well. Like, me and Reed have like really deep FaceTimes and we talk all day, every day. So it's like, I know
you're Gemini. I'm a Sag. We work really well together. And Maddie, yeah. You know, Maddie's a Leo. I'm a Sag. We're a fire sign. So we work really well together. I've always like loved Geminis and Zach's a Gemini too. That's why he and I get along so well as well. But Mo, yeah, we've been in a good groove. I mean, a year ago I was at it. I think it was last October. You and Zach had me on as a guest. I remember being so nervous on that episode. If anyone goes back and listens to it, you can tell I'm not fully myself. I'm not as loosey goosey as you guys know me now. Like, I was very nervous. I didn't know these guys like at all. We had only been in a group chat. And then, you know, fast forward to January and I started coming on weekly. So
yeah, it's
we love you, Zach.
I was going to say, it's just so crazy because when I started listening to the podcast, it was just Mo and Zach. And again, I was like you, Reed, where I didn't really know them. I knew them through Elvis. Elvis suggested it. We were at the lake one day and he was like, oh, you like Bravo? You should listen to my friend's podcast. And it's going to be weird without Zach, just because when I was introduced to About Bravo, it was just Mo and Zach. But I feel like, Reed, you have been such a great addition and you and Mo are going to continue to grow this podcast and your guys' Instagram and your TikTok. And Zach will definitely be missed, but he's always going to be like, when I think of About Bravo, he's still going to be like included.
Yeah. For sure,
yeah, he is. We'll always have a place in the About Bravo in our heart. And there's no love lost. Like, Zach is still one of our best friends. We love him dearly.
He's still in a group chat.
He's still in the group chat. He didn't get kicked out of his Jamal coming. He just has a lot of life going on. And this podcast has taken off in a way that I don't think any of us expected when we first started. And it's too much for him. And he really just can't make the commitment to it. And we feel like we'd be doing a disservice to the listeners to have him be a part of it, but never on, and not really communicating with you guys on socials, which I know you love. And he just didn't have the time to commit to something that we both really want to grow and we want to become something massive. And you guys have been listening to us. Some of you have been listening to us for 2+ years and you DM us every day and you feel like family to us. And we don't want you to have someone who you keep questioning, where are they? When are they coming back? So like we said, Zach does have an open invitation to kind of join here and there. I wouldn't expect that anytime soon, but you will hear him on the mic possibly in the future, and wish him well on his personal Instagram, because he is just, he has a lot of life going on and he has a lot of life changes and he's doing a lot of great things for himself. But as of now, the About Bravo family will be me and Reed, and we'll have our little guests. Maddie will always be here and there, and Annie has been doing a lot of Patreons, and she's been on the main episodes with us, so expect to hear from her a lot. So yeah, as of now, we got our little four-person roundtable, and that's kind of where we're going with.
It's been fun because it's like Maddie and Annie have kind of naturally been available like every other Thursday when we record. So I really like this dynamic where Mo, you and I are kind of sharing that co-host seat. And then usually you guys will hear us with a third person, whether that be Annie, Maddie, maybe eventually Zach will come into that rotation. Maybe sometimes it will just be me and Mo. We were joking yesterday about our dynamic and how we've become so close, but if you guys could see the behind the scenes, and you can probably tell, you can probably tell based off our tone to each other on the podcast sometimes, because we get sassy, we argue, we bicker like family, we never agree on episode titles, Mo can't spell for shit, and I'm a grammar Nazi, so I'm always arguing with him about, you spelled this wrong or you spelled that wrong. And then Mo's always calling me a bitch and all these things. And it's just really funny. We likened our relationship to Real Housewives of Miami, Larsa and Adriana, and specifically the scene where Adriana is dancing on her quote unquote broken foot. And Larsa leans over and whispers, "You're on your foot." And Adriana goes, "Drop it." And she drops it. That is literally me and Mo's relationship.
You know, it is. We go like our text behind the scenes, we go back and forth so much, but like at the end of the day, it's for the better of the business that we're both creating and that we want to succeed.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot to talk about. We haven't done a My Opinion in a while. So Wendy Williams, sharp turn. Let's get into
That's My Opinion.
Guys, breaking news dropped yesterday. RHUGT is going to be switching seasons 4 and 5. So the Brandy Caroline drama that we know went down in Morocco is going to now air in 2024. And the Roni Legacy that was just filmed a few weeks ago is now going to air in December. And Ooh. That will be season 4. And the next one will be season 5. December still seems far. Like, give it to us now.
I know. I give it to us now, but also I asked this in the group chat and I haven't found like the direct answer on Twitter or anything yet, but do we think this is all just because of the Brandy and Caroline thing? Like, do we think because of the allegations that they weren't able to move it forward? Or do we think that Roni, even the new Roni and Crappy Lake is taking off so well that Bravo wants to capitalize on that and bring the Roni Ultimate Girls Trip out? Like, what are we thinking?
I think it's both. I think they probably are still doing like the HR investigation into Caroline Manzo's allegations is likely not complete. We also don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Caroline Manzo might not want this season to even be airing now. Like, I could totally see a situation where the Housewives aren't playing nicely behind the scenes. But I think once they sign a contract, any footage of them can be used whether or not they like it or not. So I don't know if Caroline has that power to like stop it from airing, but I do think there's probably some mess going on with production behind the scenes.
Brandy's got lawyers involved.
That's probably what's going on. There's probably like cease and desist. And
yeah. Cause I think it's one, I think that Brandy's saying that they won't show the full footage, and a lot of the ladies that are on the trip all sided with Brandy. So it's kind of like, my name has been spread in the press with all of these sexual assault allegations, and like, you're likening my past behavior to current behavior that happened on this trip. And a lot of the ladies siding with Brandy is like, I want my lawyers involved because I don't want to be, basically what they always do to Brandy is make her the drunk mess, use this storyline with her and then throw her to the side and not make her full time or like all that stuff. I think also the success of Roni Crappy Lake. Yep. It's like, possibly let's get a Roni Legacy filming ASAP. And also another thing might be the ratings drop that Roni is having. I know a lot of us don't watch TV live. We watch it on Peacock, or we watch it the next day on our YouTube TVs and all these things. But Roni, the new Roni isn't getting great ratings. So I think if they throw a Legacy on there as quick as possible, then it's like, okay, let's, maybe people will give the new Roni a chance if we start filming main Legacy ASAP.
Yeah.
Let's unpack that though. Go ahead, Maddie.
I was going to say, I agree with that. I agree that they're trying to keep Roni popular. What were you saying, Reed?
I was just going to say, like, let's unpack that a little bit, though. Like, you know, I follow a lot of Housewives accounts that, you know, are Roni reboot haters and they're not watching. And every time those ratings tweets go out, they are throwing a party on their timeline. Like, it's flopping, it's flopping. And I'm curious what you guys think, because Mo, you said a couple weeks ago, we can't judge these ratings based off like regular Housewife ratings, because we, because it's like, this is like season one, essentially.
Yeah.
So like, Mo, you were saying that it's like season one ratings. Typically they are like 500,000, right?
Yeah, but they're low, low. Like this week was 432,000.
That's still around 500,000. Last week was like 5.56. So it's like what? A 1.3 drop. That's
but Atlanta had 800,000 viewers. So 400,000 people dropped after Atlanta.
Which is crazy, because just these past few weeks, it's also like been my work schedule, like waitressing. I don't get home in time to watch Atlanta, nor do I rush home to watch Atlanta, but I rush home to watch Roni. So it's weird that I'm not watching Atlanta until like Monday night, Tuesday. But I'm making sure I watch Roni live. So I just don't get that. I don't get why people don't open their eyes to it, because I'm really enjoying this season.
But the online excitement is there for Roni, the new Roni too. And there's people who are watching it. Like I have one of my straight coworkers is watching it and he's like, I'm fully in. And then another girl that I work with who's never watched Housewives at all was texting me about it. And the fashion is bringing New Yorkers into it. And Jenna Lyons is bringing New Yorkers into watching it. So I think that there's just, people are watching it the next day is the clear answer to that. Or people are watching it 3 days later.
I know Reed wanted to mention this. I was just going to say, if people are watching it the next day on Peacock, why is Peacock failing? Like,
okay, yeah, that was something else I wanted to talk about. Like Peacock, I can't remember how much. I think it might be like 2 million. But there was a report this week that Peacock as a streaming service is bleeding money. It's not making money. And I find that really interesting, because I'm keeping the lights on. You know what it probably is, though?
Maddie, only you are keeping the lights
Elvis,
on.
My mom, my brother, and my friend Mikey are all on my Peacock. I'm going to kick all of you off and force you to pay $10.99 yourselves so that we can keep this goddamn app around. One of my friends was like, just cancel it and move everything back to Hulu. No, idiot. I hate Hulu. I don't want my NBC shit on Hulu. I don't want to go to Hulu to watch Housewives. Peacock, in my opinion, is the best streaming app. Yep. Out of all the apps, I think it is. It's easier to use. The new Max app is fucking stupid. I have to re-click captions on every episode of the same show. It does not remember that I want captions on the screen. Max is so bad. Paramount Plus is so bad.
Paramount, bitch,
Peacock is the only
Paramount
one
Plus.
Working.
It's horrible.
Paramount Plus, I have to re-download every single time I use it. It won't load right. Peacock. Except- is amazing. And we get original shows like The Traitors and other things that they're bringing. So I don't know why
it's Paramount Plus Paramount Plus stopped charging me last November. I like canceled my subscription last November, and I've checked my bank account statements, guys. I am not getting charged, but it's still letting me in with a premium access. Like, and it's been almost a year. I don't know what's Hopefully RuPaul doesn't hear me. But here's what I'm going to say. So Peacock is bleeding money, praying to God that doesn't cause anything to happen. But back to what we were saying about the new Roni kind of having bad ratings. We're kind of all over the place with this, in my opinion. With the low ratings on Roni, I asked Maddie last night, we were hanging out watching stuff together. And I said, you know, I know we're excited about it. And I am seeing excitement on Twitter about it. But are we like gaslighting ourselves? Like, is it as good as we think it is? Why are these ratings so low? Like, is it actually not that good and we just want it to be good?
Why are Atlanta's ratings so high and this season's crap? So I don't trust it. I don't care about ratings. I think the show's good.
I think Roni is great. I love the women. I love the banter that they're having. I think it's funny. It's a slow start, but like after the craziness that we had with the last season 13 of Roni, we need this slow start. We need to get to know these women. There are, I'm watching season 10 over again now with my boyfriend, and I'm telling him, like, the new one, they don't have the history that they have. We likened it to, which we can talk to more about in the episode with Jenna Lyons and the Carol Radziwill of it all, and how she's so cool. And I'm like, well, you're watching, like, Carol in season 10 now, babe, and she is forced to get into the mess with Bethany. But when she first started, she was, like, not messy. Like, she was very cool, down to earth, too cool for school, had her funny little quips, had her fashion. But six seasons in, she was forced to get into mess. And I'm like, these women are building relationships. They didn't have relationships before. They knew each other, quote unquote, in fashion. They didn't fucking know each other. We're watching them build relationships, just like we watched Salt Lake and Dubai recently build relationships. And Dubai was so much fucking worse than Roni is. Roni is, I'm loving it. I love New York. I love all of the backdrops. I love all of it.
Yeah. To go again on the Peacock streaming, I just had another...
This is a Bloomberg podcast. We're talking about business.
I just had a thought because technically Miami was only on Peacock. Crappy Lake was only supposed to be on Peacock. And now both of those shows are starting to be on Bravo. Do we think that has a reason for the loss in 2 million? They're no longer, those are no longer just on Peacock. Now they're putting them only on Bravo. I mean, to start on Bravo.
Those could also be expensive shows because is Peacock or Bravo paying these women? Like, who's paying the Housewives fees for each episode?
What is the truth?
And we know that, like, the Miami women are about to get a massive fucking pay raise. Like, this is their third season now. Third season reboot is always the when the money starts coming in. So they're paying these women big fucking bucks now. The RHGGT women were said to make $250,000 an episode for the entire time. For the Roni women, at least 5 days, 250K. That's a lot of money. I think where Peacock is going wild is where they're doing these original shows like the Natasha Lyonne show or like these movies or these things where they're trying to license big things and spend money on that. When like we're just watching this shit for the reality TV, for the Bravo after show. Like that's what we need on this app. Keep it to that. Like no one's fucking watching this for Poker Face.
Yeah. Also, I was just going to mention Below Deck Down Under. Move to Bravo, and that was originally a Peacock show. You're watching that, Mo, right?
I'm loving Below Deck Down Under. I love Aisha. She is my favorite Chiefs due since Kate and Hannah. I think she just has that star potential, and I saw it in her on her first season of Below Deck Med. I love the captain. I'm loving this cast. The one guy, pervert. I see nothing but bad in his eyes. He is the type to slip something in your drink. He is scary. He kissed that woman without her consent and is now bamboozling her into thinking that she likes him. And I am like, you're scary, dude. Look up his search history.
No,
grab his computer.
He's so scary. I also want to say we almost have kind of what we were having on Below Deck Sailing, where the cast is meshing well. Like you see Aisha and Captain Jason, like they have such a good relationship just from being in one season. Like she's putting in his contacts every morning for him. Like I'm loving it. I'm loving seeing that relationship grow. I like the new people. Like I like the two other people on deck, not the bosun, but the one from Brooklyn. And then the one that I thought was gay that apparently isn't.
That poor man, like every time he goes in to flirt with, is her name Margot?
Margot.
Yeah, he goes to flirt with Margot and she's like, oh, I can't wait to like wake up together. And I'm like that. She thinks you're her gay bestie.
Well, they did kiss last episode.
I didn't see mind? That. I think I missed that one.
Okay, so they kissed. So it could be something forming. I think the chef is going to be a great addition. She makes amazing meals.
She's unhinged. I love a bisexual woman. Yeah. She is unhinged energy. Adam is so hot. His tight little ass, anytime he puts on the uniforms, but he is losing it as well. He's losing his mind for sure.
I mean, he gets seasick and he works in a boat. Like, yeah. Nothing.
We also see, like, in Australia.
Girl, Sydney, maybe.
No, Cairns. It's called Cairns.
I've been there.
No, it's not Cairns, France.
That is. Yeah, it is. I lived there, Maddie. I lived there.
No, there's a Cairns, France, and there's a Cairns, Australia. It's spelled differently.
Maddie, I know. Maddie, I lived there. I went to Cairns, Australia.
I was just explaining to the viewers there's a difference.
You're not letting me explain that in Australia, they don't pronounce their R's. And if you do, you sound like a hillbilly. And so when I was like, we're going to the Great Barrier Reef up in Cairns, all the Australians looked at me. They're like, it's Cairns, mate. you say Cairns, but yes, it's spelled C-A-I-R-N-S. It's where the
Great Barrier Reef is. Maddie was just saying that there's two different, there's Cairns, France, like the Cairns.
I know that, I know there's C-A-N-N-E-S, France, I know. And then Melbourne is not Melbourne, it's Melbourne. If you say Melbourne, they will literally make fun of you.
Barrier. So, how do you say barrier then?
How do you say what?
Barrier. The Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a good Australian accent, but they're probably like,
well, if you live there, you know so fucking much
Great
about them.
Barrier. The they, would say barrier. They would say Barrier Reef. Like, anyway. It's not that they don't pronounce their R's always. It's just like, and when it's, honestly, it's before an N, right? So Cairns, Melbourne, it's the R goes silent.
Eben.
Is what it is.
I don't know. Anyways, I'm loving Below Deck Down Under. It's one of the, I know I didn't watch Sailing, but it's one of my favorite Below Deck seasons that have happened in a while. Because I lost interest in Below Deck with like Med and with the main season.
And it's brand new. It's only season two. So viewers or listeners, you can get in on it.
I want to get in on it too. So I think I'm like six episodes maybe behind on Sailing Yacht. And I really did want to finish that. So I think maybe my weekend goal this weekend will be to finish that.
I would say the problem with Below Deck Down Under that you might have a problem with, it's two episodes every Monday. So it's already at like episode five.
I can't do this many this is why I gave up on Sailing Yacht. It got too much.
I think Bravo must not have paid enough for the slot, or like something else is coming up that they're having to like rush it. And that's what they had to do at the end of Sailing Yacht. There was two every single week. So I just don't think they have a big enough, there's too many episodes in a season and they didn't get a big enough slot for it is what I'm
saying. Cause my thing is like, I don't enjoy this stuff as much as I do like Housewives. Like it, I enjoy it, but it's not like I could totally live without all this kind of content. So I'm enjoying it. But like when you're like, oh, 2 hours a week, that's like, it's not like good enough to me to watch 2 hours a week up.
Well, I don't need to watch. I watch like an episode and then I will watch the next episode over the weekend. I'll watch one on Monday, yep. One over the weekend. That's what I did. So I'm one behind. We watched one Monday night, which we finished, and then we have another one to go. My boyfriend calls it Deep Blue Sea. He was like, can we watch an episode of Deep Blue Sea? And I was like, what?
What is that?
I was like, what do you mean? Or no, he calls it The Deep Blue.
The other thing, are you guys still talking about Below Deck?
You can move on.
Indeed.
Okay. So we kind of like skipped over Crappy Lake being so popular. I wanted to talk about this because Mo, I cannot believe you're not watching this.
He's like, not watching Crappy Lake?
No. I've only seen the first two episodes. It's hard for me because I'm watching, like when I get home, I was telling Reed this, when I get home from work, I try to watch whatever's like I have to watch, like Atlanta or Below Deck Sailing or The Down Under. Or I'm rewatching Roni and I'm like, I can't watch it alone. So when I'm alone today, I'm going to watch it, but I'm watching TV with somebody else now and they get very mad if I watch it without them. And they're watching season 10 of Roni. So they don't want to watch Crappy Lake because they don't want like spoilers into what's going on in Luann and Sonia's current life. So I will be watching it alone today and I will download episodes for the train, but they're easy to watch.
They're like 20 minutes. You can literally catch up in like an hour and a half.
I'm gonna do it. I can't believe I'm not. It's
like easy watching. Like it's not like you're not missing anything monumental, but it just really highlights to me, you know, a lot of the original Roni women are like work well together. Like you could argue that like Ramona and Sonia have their own kind of like chemistry. And you could argue like, I don't know, Bethany and whoever, but Lou and Sonia is like this very specific type of chemistry. Like I said this a few weeks ago, it's very much like Pinky and the Brain. Like Luann is the brain and Sonia is Pinky. But like in this latest episode, like the whole series so far, Sonia has been wanting to go to this Dairy Queen in the town. And in this episode, they finally go to the Dairy Queen. And y'all, I was in fucking tears. Like Luann pulling out. And being like, did you remember to bring the Tums? I already had my digestive enzymes. It cuts to Sonia's confessional. She's like, we love Dairy Queen. The problem is me and Luann don't really do dairy.
I've been dying to go to Dairy Queen since I got here. Finally, we're going to get our banana split. The problem is Luann and I really don't do dairy.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That does look good. Oh, wow. Banana split comes in the back. Oh, we can share that. Why don't we pull over there and we can share it on the back of the truck?
Luann shot a whole bed once. They had to remove the mattress.
And I was like, this is me as fuck. Like, I have the smallest amount of dairy and my stomach hurts. And they're sitting in the back of this truck in like the 99 degree heat, sharing a banana split. It's like milk. Like, they're like, it's like melted. They're like slopping it up. And then you hear Sonia go, it's amazing how quickly the gas comes. And she just starts farting.
Oh my God.
It's amazing how fast the gas comes. Gosh.
And the back of this truck, it was just, you can't make this shit up. It's so funny.
Yeah, I love. I'm loving Crappy Lake. It's a must watch for me on Sundays. Like I said, I'm not running to watch Atlanta. I'm running to watch the new Roni and Crappy Lake. And Sunday was actually my birthday. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, Maddie, our favorite Leo. Yeah.
I went out. We had dinner. My mom was in town. My mom, my Nana, and then my friend Lane came. And I was like, do you want to come over and watch the new Roni? And she had to go let her dog out. My mom's like, are you going to make me watch Roni? And I was like, no, but we can maybe watch a show called Crappy Lake. And my mom goes, Crappy Lake? Me and Jay love Crappy Lake. And Jay is her boyfriend. And I'm like, how do you guys know about Crappy Lake? Because my mom is not a housewives person. She'll watch it if I'm home and visiting and I have it on. She'll sit in the room. But most likely when they start yelling, she'll leave the room because she hates it. So I'm like, you don't even know who Luann and Sonia are. And you're watching it. She's like, we've turned it on the other night and we're cracking up laughing. We're all caught up. So it's almost like taking the world by storm. It is like the Paris and Nicole simple life. And I think Paris is Sonia and Nicole is Luann, because Nicole's a little bit smarter than Sonia.
Yeah, literally. I'm so glad your mom and her boyfriend are loving it. I think it goes to show that this show has an appeal beyond the housewife fan. And, you know, back to what you guys were saying about why are they switching the Ultimate Girls Trip seasons? Well, I think it's a little bit of both, right? It's obviously the legal issues with season, or with the Marrakesh season, the Ex-Wives Club 2 season. But so, yeah, I also think it's probably like people are hungry for our original Roni ladies. You've got Crappy Lake. You've got the Roni reboot making people want Roni OG. You've got Crappy Lake reminding people how good some of these OGs are. Then you've got this Ultimate Girls Trip Roni Legacy. If they can do that by the end of the year, I don't believe this conspiracy theory, but I think it was Dorinda Dudley yesterday. They were like on Twitter, what if they're swapping the Ultimate Girls Trips so that we can get Roni Legacy by end of year? And that means they could start filming an actual Roni Legacy series next spring. And
that's
honestly,
what I was saying in the beginning of the
I don't believe that. I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't think we're ever going to get a Roni Legacy series. But if I want to be a conspiracy theorist for a moment, that honestly would be perfect, because you're giving us Crappy Lake right now, Roni Legacy Ultimate Girls Trip this fall winter, and then we could very quickly have a Roni Legacy show maybe next fall, like all within a year, basically.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I'll put on my tinfoil hat for that, because I would love that. And that's why I think
that happening.
Like, yeah. And that's why I think we are loving Crappy Lake, because it's the Luann and Sonia show. And it's just been great. Did we?
We have a couple more things on That's My Opinion. We are literally, we are ADHD today, you guys, because we were talking about your birthday, Maddie.
I took my Adderall and I'm like, still.
I wanted to play a quick clip of someone we had wish Maddie a happy birthday.
Maddie Poo! Hey girl, hey, it's Candace from RHOP. So your friend Elvis reached out and said your birthday is coming up. He said it's Leo season and you're a Leo and you love attention. His words, not mine. But I have a song for you. It goes like this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Maddie. Happy birthday to you. Have the most amazing birthday. I hear you have an amazing podcast where you talk about me. Thank you for talking about me on your podcast. It's about Bravo. Yes! Shout out to the podcast and the podcast people. Thank you for watching our crazy show and for supporting me. Always drive back to success, because that's where you belong. So drive back. Here we come in contact. But see you all turn it right back. Listen, drive back. Love you so much. Happy birthday.
Oh my God. It was the best birthday gift ever. The Bravo boys, like, you guys treat me so well. It was a gift from Mo, Zach, Reed, and Elvis. And on my birthday, or the day before my birthday, I was going out with some friends on a boat, and they pulled me in my bedroom to watch on the TV, and I got to see Candace sing me happy birthday. And then she also sang a little bit of Drive Back. Like, it was just the best gift ever, and I'm so thankful for you guys. And I think it was probably like my favorite gift I've ever gotten. So.
Oh my God, stop it. Well, only the best for Maddie, but we were like thinking like about a week, and it wasn't even a week prior to your birthday boat. I think I texted the Bravo boys and I was like, we should get Maddie a cameo from someone. Who should it be? And we were like,
we were spitballing ideas.
Like Candy Burris, Paige from Summer House. Candy wasn't doing them, I don't think.
Paige wasn't doing them either. She was.
Paige wasn't doing them. Off. We like, we're just looking around. Well, Paige NeNe charges. What does right NeNe now. Charge per cameo, Mo? It's ridiculous.
$700.
NeNe was going to charge $700. Candace, for reference, charged $100. So between four of us, it was $25. It was seriously so easy. Oh, and God. I was thinking about it, like, this is like, really good less. Income. For
who am I Venmoing? Let's do it.
No, like for these housewives, like for Candace, like $100 for a 1 minute video. I mean, it's probably like it adds up, but I mean, you could probably make $1,000 a week.
Do you remember on what was it, the first season of RHUGT? When Luann was like, "Oh, I'm doing mine," and then they were talking about how much they make, and she was like, "I'm making six figures."
Yeah,
just cameo
so much, and like the what's cool about it is they don't. It's not like they actually do have to put some work into it because. When you pay for a cameo, you get to request them. That's why there's the iconic Luann video. I hope you keep on serving cunt. Because someone made her say that. That's why she laughed. Because
well, there's also like, the Karen one, the stay off the grinder.
That was for our friend Jason that Elvis got for him. And stay off the grinder. But yes. So you know how Elvis is like also not very good at spelling and grammar. And he sent us a screenshot of like, the message he sent to Candace, and it was for the most part well done. It was like a lot of run-on sentences though. He sent her and he was like, "Can you wish our friend Maddie a happy birthday? She's been a fan of you since day one. She's on a podcast called It's About Bravo. She talks about you all the time. Can you sing happy birthday and a Drive Back lyric?" is what he said, and a Drive Back lyric.
And she did it all.
And she waited all damn week. So basically we had it said it expired on Saturday. If she didn't get it done by Saturday, I think if they don't do it, it just expires. I don't think they have to ever, I don't think that there's a guarantee you're going to get it. If they like, don't want to do it, they don't want to do it. You get your money back. And it was Friday night, Maddie. We were like, where is this goddamn cameo? And it was like, I think it was like literally like late that night, right, Mo? Like 10 PM, 11 PM.
Yeah, we got it late.
I got it.
Night.
And like,
you know, she sat down at that computer and did like 10 or 15 in a row. And she's like, let's just.
Oh, yeah. You could tell she was like at the end of a long day, but you know, she did it and it was cute. And I'm glad that it meant so much to you.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was special. I'm glad that we did it for you.
The last thing I wanted to mention, and that's my opinion, is that we did see the cast announcement for the Vanderpump Rules spinoff. And in the words of Mo, send it back in the mail.
Send a bag in the mail. I'm like, what is this? Like the ex-losers of reality TV. Who are these people? I don't want to get to meet them all. Their weird gay friend who, like Britney's weird gay friend who's from Kentucky's on it. I don't know. I'm not into it. Whatever. We'll see. Apparently there are
crossovers.
There are crossovers. Sheena and Lala have filmed. They filmed one big group dinner scene. That's all I got on it. We have a lot of shows to cover. Y'all got anything?
No? Send it back in the mail.
Yeah, send it back in the mail. Let's get into the Real Housewives of New York City.
Check. Bryn has
great. No. Your bank account's empty. Oh,
no, but in the Bank of Aaron it is.
No issue with you. I don't understand.
I'm actually hesitant to like bring it up because I don't want to rock the boat. But I have to say, it does feel like a little bit. / lot of a double standard. You're more offended by someone not going to one dinner reservation than you are someone leaving your house after you made the monogram pajamas.
Well, maybe I like her a little bit more.
Finally, Bryn has joined the Hamptons trip, and She got eaten up by Aaron in 2 minutes of being there. Aaron is a, she's a worthy fighter. She's good. Mama,
they're both.
I was going to say, I'm loving their dynamic. Them just kind of sparring back and forth, but then like kind of being like shady nice to each other as well. Like smiling in their faces while stabbing each other in the back. I love it. I thought this episode was a little bit like filler, but there were some funny moments. Like when Brent entered the house, of course, flirting right away with the instructor that Ubo was already flirting with. Like, I love their energy. It's just young energy. And the flirting gave me Luann and Sonia. Like, they're always flirting with whatever man or even more like
competing.
A tennis pro. Yeah, it was giving me that vibe.
Brynn's absence was felt in episode 2, and having her back for episode 3, even though, yes, it was a little bit of a filler episode, it was just so nice having her. I completely agree that Aaron and Brynn, like, they're the perfect sparring partners, although I do think Brynn is a little bit in the wrong here because Jenna doesn't drink and had a work meeting in the morning, and I think she did the respectful thing, the respectful thing. By leaving. She had a house down the street, doesn't want to ask them to turn the music down. Like, why are they so?
The problem was she like was sneaking out. Like, they caught her sneaking out. She would have just been like
very sneaky with her behavior. She doesn't want to have her partner on the show. I saw someone tweet, I smell a takedown coming in her future, and she's gonna skip a reunion. And I don't really see that for Jenna Lyons myself. I feel like she's the last one that'll ever skip a reunion, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she will be that person because
she is down season though.
She does seem like she's afraid to fully be herself. We talked about this last week. Like, she's the only lesbian on the cast. She seems a little uncomfortable in her skin as a lesbian woman around straight women. She didn't wear lingerie when she was wheelbarrowing Aaron and Aaron's tits were out. Her eyes were looking elsewhere. It's like, she doesn't want to be that person that's like, oh, you're hitting on your castmates. Like, I can just see, I can see it. I can feel her discomfort with herself.
Yeah. But I don't think her sneaking out, like, one, let's be honest. Let's break the fourth wall a bit. I think the girls were more mad, less about her sneaking out, more about being, hey, we still have to film. Hey, yeah. We have to wake up here and get filmed as soon as we woke up. We don't get to.
And we already don't have Brynn here.
Yeah. So it's less that like she was like sneaking out. It's the fact that like, we're still filming. Why aren't you like being a part of this? But yeah. I think damned if she did, damned if she didn't. Cause if she would have woke up at 6:30 AM and been on a call, like in the living room or in her room and like people heard it, they would have been annoyed that she was up early talking. So I think she did the right thing. And I think she was so unbothered when she came back in the next morning. She came back still pretty early before the workout group started. She had
or the shishuka was made, which was never made.
The shishuka.
A lot of times they said shishuka, shishuki, shishuka.
What is shishuka?
It's like
Jewish dish, right?
Yeah, it's like a bunch of vegetables and like a red sauce, and there's like eggs over it. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah.
So speaking of Judaism, we said this last week, but it's very clear that there's a dividing line on this cast over what happened with Lizzie, and they can't or won't talk about it. And I think that's where, you know, it looks like Brynn and Aaron have these really petty, superficial disagreements that it's like, why are you guys fighting about that? It's stupid. But I think it is actually something deeper underneath the surface. Like, they clearly are on opposite sides.
That fight was with Brynn, and Aaron's also Jewish and Israeli. And it's like, she probably sided with Lizzie, and then Aaron, Brynn was the one who had the fight with Lizzie. So there's a lot to trickle down there. And I'm sure Cy probably also sided with Brynn. And that's why they got closer.
Yeah, but Cy just said she's not close to Brynn anymore.
Well, she said post-filming because she doesn't know how to keep her damn mouth shut.
Yeah.
So there must be something that goes on.
Cy pulled ahead for me a little bit on this episode. Coming up, I loved hearing her story about like how she grew up.
Wild.
They were just talking about the dollar store and how much they love it. And I guess I always say I love the dollar store too, because it's almost like fun going, you get things. But when your entire, Cy was like, just when your entire life is living from the dollar store, it's not a fun thing. And so seeing how far she's come since then and opening up right there, I was like, wow, she's pulling up in the ranks about who I like the most.
I agree. I know Mo from the get-go was like, she's my girl. And I was just like, she's not that intrigued. The only ones that really have truly captivated me from the get-go were Aaron, Brynn, and Jenna. Everybody else, I was like, y'all have a little bit of work to do for me to be convinced that you belong full time forever on this show. But Sai has been slowly winning me over episode by episode. And at the end of this episode, I was watching it with two friends who also don't really care for Sai. And after that, it was like at the end of the episode when they were sitting around the fire and she was opening up. One of my friends looked over at me and said, that's the first time that I've really liked her. Like, and it's like she is by being herself. Honestly, she's doing the thing that Jenna's not doing. She's being vulnerable and it's causing us to, I can't help but like her.
Yeah. I want to say one thing about Sai. All those fucking 12 bags, 12 suitcases, not a look was served.
Not a look. And she re-wore the lingerie.
Yeah, that's the only look she served was with something that she got on that trip. So where are the looks? I hated that sweater combo that she wore to the lunch. I was like, it's not body forming or like it's not good at all.
Let's talk about all of them. All wearing like white and khaki, and the two people that actually live in the Hamptons or like vacation in the Hamptons, Jenna and Erin in jeans and like a sweater. And I'm like, these girls like are trying so hard. And I'm like, that's not how they dress here. Like, it was just funny when like Jenna and Erin, who the ones that know the style the most there, are like, what are you guys wearing?
It does seem like their whole MO is like, we have to be the fashion franchise.
Yeah. They have to serve the looks.
And so many influencers.
It's reminding me of Selling Sunset when like, it's like, bitch, you did not need to wear that to a house showing.
And I love Jenna's look the most, like the easy cap with the hat and like the, it was just like, let's go to the Hamptons, like let's, you know.
Something back to Jenna. So you were talking about how she acted so unbothered when she came back and they were like mad at her for leaving. I'm going to go ahead and just give a little criticism to this Roni. That is sort of what you know, what old Roni did well was delusion. And like if Luann had left in the middle of the night and she came back, she would also be unbothered the way Jenna is. But it would have been a little bit more, how dare you say I can't leave? And it would have just been more like, there would have been more drama to it all. And we as viewers, it would have been more entertaining. I think part of my issue with this cast is that they're almost too normal.
I get that, you know? But from what Mo was saying, and that's my opinion. Oh, I think I have something in my throat. I feel like a weird bubble. What Mo was saying, and that's my opinion, with Jenna being similar to Carol on her first few seasons, I see that. Carol was very non-confrontational. Carol was very go with the flow, and we didn't mind it because we had enough kooky people around that brought that. And so I'm okay with Jenna being that way as of now. I think she will maybe for the better change to a little bit kookier. But as long as we have like Uba and Sai and Bryn bringing like the delusion, I'm okay with Jenna being like her even keel self. I think that's what I like about her is that she's almost too cool.
Yeah, you need someone who's like normal. Sai had me cracking up. That's another reason why I was like loving her more and more is her funny little wit. Like when they were at dinner and she was like, I don't know what these women are saying because I'm so fucking hungry that like I can't even think about it. Or when she was recanting Jessel when she was like, you said I look like my Christmas tree. I hate that dress. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
That's funny.
No, I mean, you're right. I feel like every time they get into a disagreement so far, it ends with, let's move past it. Like, it's so like logical. And I'm like, no, I need a little bit more. Like I'm waiting for one of you to like storm off or something. And it's not happening.
But it's only there though. Like the drama will get more. They are maybe a month or a month and a half into meeting each other. And we have 6 months of filming. I have a little inside tea that Uba completely loses her shit on the cast trip. And she came into my job to buy a bunch of, meditation things, and she spent like a shit almost $2,000 on like pillows and throws and was like, I need to have a meditation for all the girls because I almost like physically assaulted somebody and lost my shit on the cast trip, which was probably the scene with Erin when she snatches her sunglasses.
That's what I was gonna say. It has to be
look at me in the face. Yeah, when you're talking to me. These women have kooky in them. Or we didn't even sigh on the boat where she's like, what is that truth? When they start diving into Jessel's marriage, like they're just getting to know each other. And I think the drama, we're going to get over the Lizzie stuff, which is now being masked as fake little shashuka, cheese, catch, Castabriani, Jenna leaving. That stuff is all going to come into the next storyline because they're trying to phase out their last beef from the last storyline, which we don't have any insight on.
Yeah, I totally think it'll come. I think right now it's like you're at a party and you're meeting people for the first time and there's like a little disagreement. So you're just like, oh, what, like, go with the flow, whatever. But once they're like with each other more, I definitely think we'll see
more resentment in their hearts. They'll start being bitchier. I really don't care for Jessel at all. I one of you said she adds something to it though, because she gives them all like a villain. So yeah, I get it, but
she's just so unaware of her actions. It's wild. Yeah. Even then when
I can't figure out her accent.
You're doubling down. Like, you're not saying sorry, but you're continuing to say, like, you're doubling down. You're not apologizing for it. You're like, yeah, I did hate that, actually. But that was wrong of me to hate that, but I did hate it.
Like, yeah, it's like, okay.
She's almost like when you, like, just so unaware of what her words mean and like how she's saying it. Like, you know, there's always that one person who doesn't get social cues that you're friends with. She's that person. Like, she could have easily, I think one of you guys said it last week, like said like, oh, the dress doesn't fit, like I'm not going to come down on it, but instead paraded it around and is still talking about it now. I mean, I don't love her
saying you're in fashion, throw a white button up over it and then have a few buttons on it and have it be a skirt or tie the button, you know.
Yeah.
Do something like, hey, I didn't love this, Jenna, but you did make an effort and get to giving us all lingerie, so I'm going to wear it this way. Like, absurd. I do want to talk about, we posted on the Instagram, Brynn's confessional about Sai and the hand job, and she was like, swipe up to buy. When I tell you, I was howling. She is so unintentionally funny.
I was laughing so hard during that part. She's just such a character in her confessionals. I think she's going to be a great like housewife in the future.
I kind of feel though, I'm going to say it.
I know.
The Siri thing she did to the fridge. You knew how to open that fridge. I think a little bit of her, she's showing off for the camera. And
my sister said this to me and we were
yesterday, and it felt very forced. And then when she said white people are so weird, I know she's biracial, but I was like, that's not like a white people thing though. Like, it felt so weird to me that it felt like she went into that kitchen with that in mind to say.
I also think that we are like at that dinner, I noticed, and because I'm like liking it's old Roni, and I'm like, who is drunk? And at the dinner when she was talking, they were talking about sex and everything, Brynn was wasted.
Wasted.
She's wasted. And when they were trying to build the fire thing,
that's my girl.
Drunk as hell. She's the only one that you can tell and look at her, oh, she's fucking drunk. And I think with the Surrey thing, she probably was just really fucking drunk and was like, how the fuck do I open this shit? Which I also laughed
at. It felt like she was doing that. It felt like she was trying too hard there. And that's my thing, is like effortlessly funny. That there was effort. There was definitely clear effort in that delivery.
I just think that's who she is. I think she's a girl. I mean, who knows? But I think she's a girl that always puts on a front. And I think we're going to get into kind of her past next week. It looks like from the clip, like kind of talking about like Thanksgiving. So I just feel like she always puts on like a big...
Yeah, she's always a look what I can do kind of person with the camera. And that's what I love about her too, right? Like, it goes both ways.
Maybe next week we find out why she puts up that look what I can do front.
Yeah. Like, well, so her apartment
was... front, like the sexuality, why she leads so much with sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, her apartment, it was featured in a magazine. Maddie and I were looking at photos and videos yesterday.
It's beautiful.
It's small, tiny, though. It's very...
The thing about it is, it's a West Village apartment. It's like it's probably your second apartment or third apartment in New York City where it's a small West Village apartment that you don't have the funds to get a nicer apartment. So you make that hole in the wall in the West Village a nice apartment.
I was just going to say, she did like DIY TikTok things in her kitchen. Like, her flooring in her kitchen is peel and stick. Like, it's not even real tile.
She made it. She's definitely the poorest.
Yeah, but I love it. I love that she's making it work. Like, her shoes, there was a view of her in her bedroom, and she's got like a clothing rack on one side, and her shoes are on almost like the ceiling. There's a shelf up there, and she has a ladder that swings across so she can go up and get her shoes. Like, she's really living in a small apartment, but I think that's why I'm probably going to end up liking her a little bit more, because she puts on like a little, like she has money, but I don't think she does.
I don't think she does either, but she was saying, like, I want to know more about her story and where she comes from, because her talking about her and her grandma and how she used to cut out the things from the magazines and, like, what if we bought this set this week and, like, four easy payments, you can get this living room set. And, like, it, like when Sai was talking about her, where she came from and why she appreciates all these nice things now because she had nothing. And back to the dollar store thing, it's, like, why people are turning on Bethany Frankel so much, because it's, like, you – are cosplaying as poor, and some people actually have to go to the fucking dollar store. I remember when I first moved to New York City and I had $100 for 2 weeks, and I'd have to go to the dollar store and buy food and buy like cheap soap and all of these things. And like, now I got La Mer and my face is glowing, and I'm like, though, I don't want to go to the dollar store. I go to TJ Maxx. I'm a Maxinista. I love TJ Maxx, but like, because you can get nice things at TJ Maxx for a lesser price. But like, I'm not going back to the dollar store, bitch. It's not fun for me. It's drama. And like, people who grew up with nothing or had nothing when they first moved to the city like I did, like, you don't want to go back to those days. It's like trauma.
I think overall, the more we learn about this cast, the more we're going to like them. I think we're already seeing that, like we've said about Sai and maybe Brynn next week, maybe Jenna a little bit more.
Uba, who's super funny.
Like, I want to know what Brynn, if Brynn really grew up poor, like, didn't you say last week, Mo, she was roommates with some celebrity?
She moved in with Pandora, Lisa Vanderpump's.
So, like, I just feel like she's got to have some sort of connection.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Or she climbed her way all the way up herself. And that's fine, too. In the words of Lana Del Rey on the seminal album Ultraviolence, fucked my way up to the top.
I knew you were going to say that. And
fucked
I loved
my
it.
Way up to the top. This is my show. And literally, that's what Brynn is saying here. Also, what did you guys think of Uba saying that Brynn's fur coat was Mississippi? I'm from Mississippi, and I didn't make that connection.
Yeah, I don't know if she knows much about, like, the South.
Like down in the river. I'm like, okay.
Well, down in the river, they're wearing fur. I like when she called it a pimp coat. She's like, she's a pimp coming into the Hamptons.
Yeah.
I liked the outfit. I guess it is very similar to, like, I don't wear a fur coat when I travel, but in the winter, but I'll wear like a matching sweatsuit and then like my long pea coat or a long coat when I travel. And so it was giving me.
I love that. Look, I always wear that when I travel, an oversized coat and like a sweatsuit. That's why. Yeah. It's so chic and easy in a hat. I do love how when Brynn came in that outfit and she was like, South is nice, South is better, but this is nice too. And it just reminded me of Ramona and the Hamptons and South of the Highway, East Montauk, Sag Harbor, like all those things. And as someone who's now been to the Hamptons, I get it. I don't get like where what's better than the other, but like to me, it's all a bunch of highways and it's good trash. I hate it. I hate every part of it.
Well, anything else on Roni, guys?
Well, no.
Well,
well, let's get into the Real Housewives of Orange County.
Changed my mind about anything with Ryan and Jen, but at Nobu, what you want to tell me to watch it? Really got bad. I was an asshole, and at this point, I just want her to know that I want her to be happy. I don't want to try to bring her down. I can't keep doing this with her.
I want to move forward. I want what's best for you. I really do. I would actually love the opportunity to sit down with Ryan.
Ryan would be so open
and just start. Like fresh.
So Shannon asked me if Eddie and I wanted to go out on John's boat and then go to a restaurant. And I recommended that you and Ryan go as well.
You did?
I did. So just, you know what? I really just want a fresh start. I do.
I think he would love the opportunity.
Nobody's life is perfect. And even though he's made mistakes, I should have never said anything.
So we have Tamara once again working overtime. So she met up with Jen in this scene. And I'm like, why are they so normal? Why? And Jen is apologizing to Tamara. Like, you're apologizing to her. Then later we have the scene with Ryan, Eddie, Tamara, Vicky, and John. And once again, they're apologizing to Tamara and like trying to get in her good graces. And it's like, this woman brought you on national television to berate you, to bring down your relationship, and you're apologizing.
Okay, I have some insider info. And by insider info, I mean I listened to a podcast that Tamara was on. But she was
on... Two teas in a pod.
No, she was on Everything Iconic with Danny Pellegrino this week. And she talked about her relationship with Jen. And so Jen and her were like gym friends and like couple friends. Like they did stuff together. But it wasn't like a Shannon or a Vicky to her. And so she tried to get Jen on season 14, and then they took Bronwyn, so they didn't take Jen. And then last year, Jen starts dating this guy. What's his name again? Ryan?
Ryan. Ron.
Ron.
Ryan.
She starts dating Ryan, and Tamara said she pulled away from the friendship. Tamara said since she started dating Ryan, she basically said she didn't want to be friends with her anymore, all this stuff. Jen got casted on this season of Orange County before Tamara. Tamara said when she got her contract that she found out that Jen was on. So Tamara did not bring Jen on. They kind of played it like she did, but Tamara said, I'm not even that close with this girl. We've kind of like been at ease because I don't like the man that she's with. And then we're on a show together. Of course, I'm going to bring it up.
Like, I said this all last week.
She confirmed that she did not bring this girl on to degrade her. This girl came on and Tamara's like, I'm going to degrade you.
Yeah. She's like, you basically didn't even know that Tamara was coming back. Didn't tell her. So you tell on the show that I got fired from that tried to get you on in the first place. And now you're coming on and I'm going to come for blood. And I love Tamara Judge. She is a messy fucking bitch. At the start of the episode with Shannon and the hot mic moment, and her taking off the mic and being like, I'm not doing this. I was dead when Vicky was like, what's going on? Was it something I said? Like, Vicky was just, she was there for fun. And when she was like, stand up for your love, stand up for your love.
They are trying so hard though to write the narrative about Heather. Like, as soon as Shannon came back, Vicky was like, well, why would Heather say that? Why would Heather do that? Da, 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 da. Like, they're putting everything on Heather. It definitely is a Heather takedown season.
She's just, like, living in her rich home, like, not caring.
But like, selling it for $55
million. Insanity. Like, I don't understand why they went into this season with the Heather takedown in mind when there's so much other stuff that's going on that they could lean into. We didn't even see Taylor Armstrong this episode. Which I just realized. And Heather, why? Like, it's your first season back with an OG-esque housewife. You have the chance to bring Vicky on and Shannon and really move the four of you along. Why try to take her down and possibly get her off the show when the future of OC could be the four nostalgic wives that we love from the past?
I think maybe because Heather puts up a fight where if she were to do this with Gina or an Emily, she probably doesn't know if it's going to be that good of a season because the fans don't care as much about Gina and Emily as we do Heather. So she's playing a producer where we want to see them go head to head because we want to be on Heather's side or we want to be on Tamara's side. Where if it was Tamara versus Gina, we're all hopping on Tamara's side right away.
That wouldn't be as much. And she knew she was going to get back with Shannon immediately. So she knew that where to go. Also, Heather said in an interview with E! News that she wants Gretchen Rossi back most. And I'm like, oh, she hates Tamara. She hates her.
Yeah, I love Gretchen Rossi.
Well, and they brought Selling Sunset together on that at Heather's baby shower. Heather and Gretchen were both there. Mm.
So I say this every week and Mo is like, that's what we love about Tamara. But once again, just like, the mess that this woman creates, I like don't believe her when she cries and says sorry. Like, because no, she just turns around and does it. She does the same thing over and over again. Like, you literally invited Heather Amin to this party to antagonize Jen about her relationship. And then the next episode, I just feel so bad and I shouldn't have done that. She did the same thing after screaming at Shannon on the boat. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. Next day, I feel so bad.
Well, because she knows that if she does that, the person will get vulnerable with her again, share stuff, and then she can. It's Big Brother, baby. She's playing the game. She is doing it all.
We did not mention that, and that's my opinion. Guys, Big Brother season 25 is out, and Ceree from Survivor and the Traitors is on.
I think Zach had his tinfoil hat on in the group chat and was like, I think Ceree is going to be on, and he was giving like other players, Brittany from like other seasons.
He said Brittany, and then I texted and said, guys, I think it's Ceree. Like, I'm seeing that. And Maddie, you agreed and were like, no, I'm seeing it everywhere. It's Ceree. And I was like, there's no fucking way. And then when you sent that photo of her in the house, I about shit my pants. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
So my mom is a bigger Survivor fan than Big Brother, but I got her into Big Brother when my friend was on. Shout out Tyler Crispin, second placer. But I got her into it, and so she was watching. So I texted her last night. I was like, are you watching live? She's like, no, I'm waiting for Jay to get home. And I was like, there's someone, because it was right at the commercial break where we saw the back of Ceree in the kitchen. I was like, I think that's Ceree. So I was like, there's someone on it and I think I know who it is. And she was like, well, I know. And then the next scene, it was Ceree in the kitchen. I was like, yes, you'll see her face. And so she texts me and she's like, oh my god. And she's like,
I mean, there was just that clip. That clip today that you sent when she was coaching her son and she was like, don't say that. Don't say it. Like, she is such a master at.
I don't think it was her son. I think it was like Felicia.
No, it was Jared. It was her son.
I think it was 10, yeah.
Yeah, because she was like, don't tell or don't tell her that you're going to talk to her. Like, just be like, yeah, cool. Like, don't make it seem like you're making these moves. Sari is, I'm scared for her, I'm worried for her, but if anybody can do it, she can do it. And she is, like I said in our group text, she on the Traitors, she fooled reality TV legends. So these fucking people are going to be a piece of cake.
I don't want to take too much time on Big Brother since we're in Orange County, but I do want to mention, do we think, there's already coming out that some people like on the cast follow Sari so they know her, but I don't think a lot of people knew who she was. Like when they came in the kitchen, there was not a big explosion. Like, oh my God, I can't believe she's here. So I think if she aligns with people that know who she is, she may be able to keep it under wraps. Or do we think everyone's going to know right away that she was
I think that maybe she's going to probably talk about it, but also how many people watch the Traitors? And there is people that followed her, but was it Kristen that said at the end of the episode, I saw on like BB Twitter that she looked at Jared and said, is that your mom?
So I didn't see that.
Yeah, so she said it to him. So maybe people are just thinking the twist is that his mom is in, and then his mom is also like kind of famous, but
maybe they don't
what
know.
What about like they obviously Big Brother is CBS and Traitors is NBC on the Peacock streaming platform. They did not mention that she won Traitors. They were like, Sari from Survivor episodes, this, or
you know, the Traitors is compared to like Survivor, the Traitors is such a nothing show. It's the first season of a show. Like,
but she won it.
Yeah, but she's known as like people who watch the Traitors might know Sari, but Sari's known as Survivor legend.
They're not gonna go out of their way to say it. But
do you think she will?
They can't police what she says in the house.
Even bring it up. Like, I don't think she'll bring it up at all. It's like it's a off something reality show compared to her four seasons. She is, I believe, either number one, two, or three to play the longest days in Survivor history and not win. Regardless of winning or not, she's played the most days. I think her and Ozzy have played the most days.
It was so funny when her son lost the competition. I was like, well, Sari was never good at challenges. So I guess.
She was not.
So
everything else.
All this to say, Tamra is the Sari of Orange County.
Tamra is the Sari of Orange County. She's a master manipulator. Even having her husband come in on this last scene and like kind of like gaslight Ryan into being like, why are you apologizing for me? What is it exactly you're apologizing for?
It was crazy when Tamra asked Ryan. I think it was Eddie that asked Ryan. He was like, so like, let's get to the bottom of this. Did you cheat on your wife? And he's like, yeah, cheated on her a lot.
He was like, so you're a cheater.
You tell he's a shitty person.
Did you cheat on Jen? And then he's like, no, I didn't. And then Jen being like, I felt cheated on.
That awful, like, confessional look, by the way, with the feathers.
That
was not good. On the other hand, Tamara's new confessional look, I was gagging.
It's hard to gag over it because it's like so many of the wives are doing it. It's the new like Chanel earrings, the Mugler bodysuit
because Tamra normally is very much like, Tamra reminds me, like I do CrossFit and like a lot of females in CrossFit are very like, they're hot without needing to put makeup on. Like it's very like, Tamra reminds me, you know, she has the cut. She's like I never really see Tamra done up. And then her hair was straightened. It was bleach blonde. She had makeup on. It looked like she was about to like go to like some big fancy event. Like she looked hot. I was just so like blown away by how glammed up she was. And I know you liked this look, Maddie, but speaking of glammed up, hate Gina's orange look.
I don't hate it as much as Twitter hates it. I'm like, I don't, for Gina, it's a good look. I like it more than the other one with the denim boost, the Versace, where she added on every necklace she's ever known to her neck.
No, I love that orange look. I think the makeup is good. I think the hair is good.
I honestly think it's really good.
Yeah.
I find her incredibly boring. I don't know how she's on Housewives.
What does that have to do with the orange look?
I'm just saying we're talking about Emily now or Gina now. So I'm just going to throw that out there. I don't get what she like. This was a filler episode, but out of all the filler scenes, I never have wanted to fall asleep more than the scene of her talking to her husband about their real estate licenses. Like,
okay, maybe I fast forwarded that. I was on a time crunch this morning.
And even when she talks, she like looks like she's like barely keeping herself awake. Like,
That's a, this is what I'm gonna miss about Zach is the Gina accent he does.
I know.
My Gina accent isn't so bad, Maddie. Like, I don't know why you why do you need Zach to do the accent? Like, I just feel like I can do it right now on the microphone.
Well, Reed, I'm gonna say you're gonna have to practice your Dorit for when Beverly Hills comes. Because we're gonna be big on really. Rolling Garcelle.
Yeah. Emily was cracking me up though. I do like Emily as a housewife. Her husband is such an asshole to her.
He is the biggest asshole. Like, it was funny because Reed watching this, he's like, ooh, I can see like they're not getting along. I can see a divorce in their future. I'm like, they're never getting divorced. They've been like this since for years now.
I think they love
it. He was Mormon. How are you Mormon, but you don't need your family to be? Mormons are very extreme.
They're very, I mean, I'm
like, how is the church okay with him being Mormon, but not his wife and kids?
I think I could be wrong about last season. Was it, they did something with their kids and showed them like either she took them to church or he took them to church, but they were letting the kids decide what they want to do.
I think his older daughter took them to church. Was that it? Because he has another daughter that's not Emily's.
I cannot remember, but they discussed it a little bit. But yeah, every time he's at a dinner, he'll drink like a Coke or a pop. Like,
so bizarre to me.
Yeah.
And they ordered a filet mignon at a Mexican restaurant.
That's the biggest crime. But the Mormon church is very weird. I just found out you get a planet. I don't know. I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, you get a planet. I used to live next to Mormons and they had 7 children. And I found out, because one of them was in my grade, and I found out that Mormons literally believe that as long as you get married in the church and it's like a holy marriage, Mormons believe that when they die, they will become gods of their own planet.
Yeah, you get, and you each get a planet. Or the only
one gets their own planet that they're a god over.
But also you, I don't know, my boyfriend's never been to the temple. You can't go to the temple until you're 18, which is also bizarre. So you can't practice fully until you're 18. And he's never been to the Mormon temple at all. And you wear all white. It's a whole thing.
It is such a crazy religion. Like,
I know. I've
up until the 80s, they believed black people were literally possessed by demons.
Yeah, they weren't allowed to, like, people of color weren't allowed to join the Mormon church until the 80s.
Go watch the South Park episode where they make fun of it, because it's literally like, they have a little words on the screen in the bottom during the musical where they're like, this is not satire. This is actually what Mormons believe.
Well, the people of South Park wrote Book of Mormon, the musical.
Yes, which is also a great musical.
I know. I need to go see it. We keep talking about going to see it. I got nothing else on OC. Filler?
Yeah.
Filler.
Let's get into Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Which is poor evil, and I don't have to defend it.
I've never done
so everybody can make their own assessment and judgment about it.
Okay, and then the next time, it's about karma.
I said, I hope you were okay.
No, you didn't. And you didn't know what happened to me.
No, she said, I hope you're okay.
She knows.
Okay, Courtney, I'm done with you.
Keep falling and busting your ass and being mean, and then you'll feel it.
That's funny, see? You are the dark cloud. Nobody likes you.
I love you, Courtney.
You're irrelevant to me.
And you're relevant to me.
I've been saying this since the first time you were on with the Atlanta premiere. I think Courtney has something in her. I just don't think that with Atlanta on life support right now, she deserves to come back next season. If Atlanta was having a good season and the heavy hitters were there and she was a friend of, then maybe she would come back as a friend of, but I don't think that next season we need to see Courtney, Manietta, Sanya, any of them. But I do think her going against Kenya constantly and being like, well, that's why you busted your ass. Well, karma, you busted your ass. Keep busting your ass and falling.
Oh, I know she's bringing like a little bit of drama and making it interesting. I just can't stand that bitch. hate her. She is so annoying. Like, I don't know. The fact that, like, she technically is cousins with Drew and immediately wrote her off, too. I'm just like, girl, get out of here. You have no loyalties to anyone. You just want to make sure you have a moment.
That's what she wants, a memeable Jifu moment. Let's talk about the big drama in the episode. So we have the fallback of last episode with did Drew kiss LaToya during the Bolo event? Why are we talking about something that happened 2 years ago? They have nothing. Why are they literally, guys, I lost interest so fast in this episode because a lot of it was stuff that happened during Bolo when Portia was there, Shamia was there. Shamia, Portia, Tanya, all of them were there at the same time. I don't know what's going on. When I tell you, I howled and laughed at Kenya's or Marlo's confessional when she was like, I don't know why Toya is saying that. She never kissed Drew. Drew probably cash after her, and Toya's a hustler, so I don't mind it. I know she's lying. She probably sent her some money, and I'm okay with it. She's a hustler.
I thought Marlo's that confessional was funny, and I thought Sheree kind of dogging on Drew. She was like, why do you care that you're being filmed? You're on a reality show. Like, you're being filmed constantly.
Thank you, and they need this season. And the fact that, you know what, Manyetta came up a little for me in this episode. The fact that she also filmed and was getting in the mess. And it's like, you knew cameras were down, and they were like, cameras are down, let's not film, let's not film. And that's Candy Burris that always does that with the cameras are down, let's not film. We need to make a show. And let's talk a little bit about the Nene interview where she read Candy for filth, because it's my new favorite thing where she, I don't think the camera loves her. I don't think, the camera just doesn't love her. She just doesn't, I don't think people are looking like, ooh, Candy's everything. She's everything. We got to watch on Sunday nights for Candy.
I just don't think she's an exciting, I don't think the camera loves her. I just don't think the camera loves, I think the camera loves her family, but I don't think they love her.
And okay, I'm, you know me, Candy Sand, Candy Yam. I get it. I get where Nene's coming from. But guess what? Nene also got to create her own dream cast. And so did Carlos King, got to create their dream cast. And guess who was on both of their dream casts? Candy. So I don't care what she says, because she's so much Candy on the show.
What she's saying is, why is Candy positioned to be the star, the highest paid? Bravo really wants us to believe with all these spinoffs that Candy's is so exciting to watch. Like Nene said, I think that we turn on our TV and we're like, Candy's there. There she is. What? Yep, there's Candy. Like, not Candy is the Nene. Candy is the Portia. Candy is the Phaedra, the Kenya. Like, she's not that girl that Bravo is making us believe she is. And even she wasn't in this episode at all.
I think Bravo just has to make her that girl because they don't have the Portia. The Nene, like, they're gone. Like, hello, wake up. They're gone. Candy's the only one who stuck around. So she has to be the OG. That they're trying to lean into the nostalgia because they lost that from Orange County with Vicky. Yep. They saw when Vicky left, everyone freaked out. They have it with Kyle in Beverly Hills. Like, they're just trying to emulate that with Candy. Candy's just not that girl. But
thank you. Thank you.
She has to be.
We said it.
I haven't listened to the whole thing, but every clip from that Nene interview has just like had me in a chokehold. I think I just really, and I say it all the time, I need Nene back. That's what I want.
She's talking about Claudia, and she was like, they said that Demetria that season on season 7 was being positioned as the peach holder, and Nene, after the fight in Puerto Rico, went to production and was like, you picked the wrong bitch. Like, that bitch, Claudia, is the only bitch that's ever given me a run for my money in reading. And she read Nene down. And Nene said she won that reading. She did not. Claudia read her down.
I'm a puppet master on these jobs, though. You been seeing
what
that?
Jobs? The ones that got canceled?
The checks didn't get canceled, though. You wish you had what I had in the bank, darling. You wish you had what I have in the bank.
In these 17 years I've been working. I pay my own bills. I don't have to get on the pole.
You know you filed bankruptcy, girl.
Never been arrested.
I was arrested in my 20s when I was in college.
You went to college?
Oh, I'm very college educated. You didn't know, bitch? You didn't know?
I can't tell. Spell bridesmaids. The ass is not silent, honey.
Let's go back to talk about being a stripper. I was a stripper, and I liked it.
What club was that at?
That was 20 years ago. Let's talk about something being college. I'm in my 40s.
That's it?
You in your 40s.
I am. You're like 20 years apart.
No, we are not 20 years apart, girl.
When you were my age, you had edges.
I gotta be honest. Claudia is reading Nene like hooked on phonics.
Okay, girl, bye.
Down with the, I mean, Nene did have the, with the spaghetti straps and the, her wig is pulled.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
And you better check this tag. You better see what this says right here. They make them when you got the coin.
I think it's interesting that Nene thinks Candy is like boring, but still has her in her like dream cast.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't make sense. You're going to say that she's the clip that we played, that she's boring and doesn't be on Star, but she was on hers and Carlos's. So what's the tea?
I think that maybe what she means is like, it can't all be like, clearly Candy's not interesting enough on her own and Kenya's not even trying to be dramatic this season. So it's like, I think maybe Nene's point is like, there is a place for Candy on this cast, but you need like a me, a Portia, a Kim Zolciak to balance her out. Otherwise it just like, it is what it is right now. Where like, nobody is being interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and like, I can't believe she has Drew in her dream cast. Like, she only has Drew in her dream cast because of the stuff going on with Ralph. That's the only reason.
But sometimes I think when Drew has those worthy opponents, then it's interesting. But like, even Marlo wasn't giving Drew the time of day when Drew was going off about her and was like, Marlo wasn't giving her the mean reads that she usually gives when she was like, fix your edges. You don't have a husband. Marlo was like, okay, bitch, bye. Like, I don't care. I fixed my edges and I don't want your husband. Your husband's cheater. Like, I don't care. Like, Marlo wasn't going low.
Yeah, they just don't have that like energy that they used to have. And
these girls don't want to fight with these other girls. They're not worthy opponents to them. They're not those. They're not the heavy hitters. They're like so bored with it. You can tell they're as bored as we are watching it.
Yeah, I wish I'd also like a pipe dream. I would love Phaedra to come back, but we're getting her in Married to Med, and I don't think she'd come back if Candy was on. But she's just like, she gives like a Marlo comic relief, like, that you almost need when it's this boring. And I would love to see her back, but that would be my dream cast in case.
And also, where's LaToya? So much talk of LaToya. They're texting LaToya. LaToya's calling.
She's on next episode.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
Peacock doesn't give the next on certain shows, and I don't love that.
Yeah, so she can't.
Maybe that's where the $2 million loss is coming from.
Candy is having an event in LaToya there, and guess who else is there? Cynthia.
I was just gonna say, where Cynthia started filming around the time with when Kenya was doing her Kenya Moore hair care commercial, and they cut that out. Where is Cynthia?
Yeah, she's next week. She'll be on.
And she stays along, y'all, I think, for a while, hopefully.
That reminds me. Do y'all believe Nene on the Carlos interview about Cynthia like trying to stop her bag behind the scenes, and how Cynthia's whole illusion of being a doormat is not true? Like, what do you guys think?
I think Cynthia is an enigma wrapped in
beauty. Not at all. And
I just think there's a lot of layers there. And she
said that the friend contract, or didn't Cynthia say the friend contract was like done before? Like, I feel like I saw something about Cynthia saying, I didn't make that friend contract. That was like production.
Maybe, but like, I think Cynthia just doesn't, she wants to portray a certain image of herself, kind of like Denise Richards on Beverly Hills. Like, and maybe there's more behind the scenes. I've never found Cynthia to be she's the most interesting to look at, but she's not the most interesting housewife. And I've never thought that she should have stayed on the show for as long as she did. I mean, there was moments that she had with Portia, like on the boat, like those, there's moments that she had. I mean, she did read the girls at the reunion, but she just wasn't the heavy hitter that I think.
No, she's not a heavy hitter. I just like her. So I'll be happy that she comes back next week. And maybe she'll bring a little
something. Listen, on this type of season in Atlanta where it is painfully boring, like, I liked last episode and I was like, oh my God, this keeps happening with Atlanta. One kind of good episode, we're like, ooh, there's hope. And then down again. Seeing Cynthia would be the best thing that happened to me watching Atlanta. I'm like, bring her back, please. Give me anything. Yep.
I need something. Please do something quick.
Someone do something quick. That's all I have in Atlanta. Anything else, y'all?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Like we said at the top of the episode, send Zach some DMs, just kind of wishing him well on his next endeavors. Next episode, we're probably going to have three of us. It might be Maddie, might be Annie, might be just Reed and I, but we're moving forward with these four as our little view roundtable. We might have guests other than them here and there. It's an exciting time for About Bravo. We are moving ahead. Thank you guys for supporting us, for supporting the Patreon. We've gotten some new subscribers there. We're going to have some new content out there soon. We're going to have to do a Big Brother episode, with as excited as we are for this season. As excited, we're already getting DMs about it. We'll do that soon. We have a lot on the horizon. I want to do a Roni one with my boyfriend. We're almost done with season 10. We have good stuff coming, guys. You know where to find us. About_Bravo, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. The Patreon is linked below. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah.